Good morning, everybody. First of all, I just welcome you all to the worship service of the Atlanta Church of Christ in Gwinnett. Amen. Want to start off with that first while I raise the podium. Okay, I'm a little challenged up here because I'm a little taller than most, okay? But anyway, this has been a great service thus far. And if you're visiting with us, we're normally probably twice as larger than what you see today, because a lot of our brothers and sisters over in St. Louis, you know, at the Reach Conference, it's a huge international conference with disciples all over the world praising God today. I think there's like 20,000 disciples up in St. Louis right now rocking the city. So that's an awesome and amazing thing. And also a lot of people are on vacation, but you know what? It doesn't matter, because we're here to hear the word of God. Amen. We're here to hear the word of God, and I'm excited about that. And before we start, please turn over to Matthew chapter 18. That's going to be our text, as they say. That's going to be our text for the day. But while you're turning there, I have some special guests. I just want to lift up my family. They're all here. It's the whole crew of them. So mom and everybody. They've been here several times before, so they don't have to stand up. You know what I'm saying? Also, some of my co-workers is here. I know he doesn't want to stand up. So I just appreciate you all for coming and supporting this venture. Now, to my mom, I just want to say thank you so much as always. In the mighty words of Abraham Lincoln, you know, I owe you everything. You know, for everything who I am and to whom I will become, my angel, my mom, in the words of Abraham Lincoln. I just want to start that off. Because when I read that quote, I said, I want to use that one day. So I was able to use it. Now, today I'm going to be talking about something that all of us face at one time or the other, and that's fear. All right? How many of y'all have ever had a fear in your life? Raise your hand now. This is an open place, all right? Now, some of the men, they like this. No, I know that you had fears as well. Everybody in here has had some type of fear that they had to deal with. Some have been good fears, some bad fears, but it's a fear, right? And the Bible, you know, when the Bible talks about fear, but this is the definition of fear. It says an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain, insecurity, or a threat. Now, I put that insecurity in there because, see, sometimes fear will cause us to do those things. A fear will make us feel insecure at certain times in our life. You know, and I love this because Zig Ziglar, he had a quote for fear. He said, fear can be described as false expectations appearing real. You know, I love this. Basically, he's saying that sometimes we fear things but we don't even necessarily have to fear them. Do you all understand that? Because I've been in situations where I've been scared or fearful when I didn't have to be fearful. It reminds me of a story that I heard a few years back about a boy who lived in a suburban neighborhood. And his family had just moved into the neighborhood. And they had one of those ugly English bulldogs, all right, with the long nose. And what happened every day when the boy came from school, probably because he thought the dog was ugly, the dog would chase him every single day. So he would get off the school bus and there was that ugly English bulldog chasing him every day after school. So he's thinking to himself, what in the world is going on? So he says, you know what? I'm not going to be scared anymore. So one day he got off the bus and that was that ugly English bulldog chasing him. So he picked up a stick, and all your animal rights people, you okay? Okay, he picked up a stick, and he waved it. He said, you know what? I'm not going to be scared anymore. But then he looked at the dog. The dog started to bark, and the dog didn't have any teeth. It looked like this. So this guy was running around scared all of that time from something that did not have any teeth, that wasn't going to do him any harm whatsoever. But do you know what? Sometimes as adults, we're running away from things that don't have any teeth. We're scared of things that can't do any harm to us. And we're fearful and we're scared. Now, some fears we do have to respect. I mean, if a tiger came in this room right now, I will start running. So some fears are healthy. But do you know what's crazy about fear? Fears that are false and the fears that are real, our body reacts the same way. I thought that was interesting when I read that. The same stress, the same nervousness, anxiety, And the whole nervous system starts to go into play. And we're going to break all that down a little bit later. But the nervous system reacts the same way when the fear is real and when the fear is false. That's why sometimes we get in situations, let's say we're talking to someone that we might feel insecure about. You know, you get that little nervous feeling. Or sometimes we go on a job interview. Now, we don't have anything to fear because it's going to help us if we get the job. But we feel insecure and nervous because our body goes into the same mindset. And what are some of the top fears that people deal with today? Number one, flying. There's a lot of people who don't like flying. All right, I don't care. Public speaking. A lot of people don't like speaking. I remember the first time I got on stage. I was so nervous, I felt like I was going to fall out. I'm serious, I was sweating, and I was talking so fast. Look, I just wanted to... Dying. People fear dying. But the sad thing, people fear public speaking more than they fear dying. Isn't that funny? Scared of heights. A lot of people, man, you take them over 10 feet. Woo, boy, they can't work. And also being alone in the dark. You know, being alone. And I don't think it's being alone. People think there's something there with them in the dark. I think that's what the fear is. And one thing that I wanted to put on here that is not on, like, listed, but is listed in different words when I looked at the 100 top fears, but I just put my own little spin of it, is the fear of changing character or character change. I think this is something that a lot of people fear today. Learning how to be different and learning how to change your character is a scary thing. And today we're going to talk about overcoming fear. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 1 through 5. Now, you could turn to your Bible. I still have my Bible. I can't get with the tech now. I got to have that piece of paper in my hand. But anyway, I'm going to read it right now because my Bible over there, it says, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. At the time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, truly I say to you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. The first thing I want to talk about, we got to get over our fear of change. Now, we look at this passage right here, and it says at that moment. But you got to realize what was going on beforehand. If you read in chapter 7, Jesus had just went on to the Mount of Transfiguration, had transformed, looked like Elijah and Moses was up there, and Peter, James, and John was with Jesus. So this was an awesome experience. You can only imagine how they felt. They came down the demoniac. They could not heal the demon out of the demoniac. So he's crazy, so Jesus had to heal them. And then some of the people said, hey, your teacher, do they pay taxes? Jesus said, hey, look, Peter, go down to the lake, hey, catch a fish, and the tax money will be right in the fish's mouth. Now, that's an awesome thing, isn't it? So you can imagine that the disciples were probably on cloud nine when they heard this. They had this argument about who was the greatest. Because I bet everybody was trying to figure out who that was. Is it him? Is it me? It's not him. I was there. Is it him? So Jesus, he calls in a little child. And he talks about, unless you change and become like one of these little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And the word that he used there for change is strep. And it's a Greek word, which means to have a dynamic conversion. So what Jesus tells his people, hey, look, you all are way up here. You wanting this position, you wanting this. But unless you change, unless you strep, have that kind of mentality, you will not even enter the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus lets these guys know a change had to take place. If you want to be different, there has to be a significant change. Well, the change is in the mind, the change is with the heart, but also the change results in action. Because I think it's so oftentimes we want to change in the head. Well, we can be smart, go to school, get all kinds of degrees. But is the change resulting you to act differently? And then Jesus calls over a little child. He says, you got to be like this. And when you think about a child's character, children, first of all, I like to say, they have a trust in their parents like no one else. My daughter's 8 years old, but my daughter knows that daddy is going to protect her. My daughter knows that daddy's going to make sure some food is on the table. My daughter knows that there's going to be a roof over her head when she goes home. She has that kind of simple trust in me. And see, so oftentimes I think that that's the way that God wants us to be with him. He wants us to trust in him no matter what. And I think that's when change starts to happen. When you really understand that, hey, look, I need to put my faith and my trust in God Almighty. And that's when change starts to happen. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because we know that change is hard. And I love what Mark Twain says. He says, the only person who likes change is a baby with a wet diaper. And that's true. Because when you change, it's hard. If you go from being one person, now all of a sudden someone's saying you're challenging you to be something else, it is a hard thing. But see, if we really do want to eat the benefits of the kingdom, we got to allow ourselves to change from the inside out. The first thing that we have to do to change, we got to trust God's word. And this says 1 Timothy, but it's 2 Timothy, everybody. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Can I get an amen? Everybody just looking at me. Okay. All right. In order to change, we have to trust God's word. This scripture says all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's so amazing you read different translations, your mind already goes there for the word, doesn't it? But let me read this again. All scripture is God-breathed and is used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, I love this passage because, see, the Bible is the book of change. If you want to change, you start getting into the holy word of God. You know, and I love it because he says all scripture is God-breathed. He didn't say some. He said all scripture is God-breathed, and God's word is useful for teaching. It teaches us how to be godly. The Bible rebukes us when we're doing things that are wrong. It corrects us. It trains us in righteousness so that we will be equipped for every good work. This is the first thing that we need to do to change. We can't change just because of a life coach. We can't change just because of a great seminar. But we have to change because we have God's word living inside of us. That's the only thing that's going to change this church. And see, a lot of times we put so much confidence in other things, but it's not God's word. Do y'all feel me on that? Do you understand what I'm talking about? But we have to trust God's word. God's word is the cornerstone of change. You cannot completely change unless you have God's word inside of your heart. You cannot completely change unless God's word is resonating throughout your heart where you have the actions to back it up. And see, the Bible, what people don't realize, the Bible has the answers for everything, everybody. No matter what you're going through, there are scriptures that can help you through it. If you're having a bad marriage, oh man, there's all kinds of scriptures in the Bible about marriage. I'm serious about that. You know what I'm saying? If you're having financial trouble, there's all kinds of scriptures in the Bible about being disciplined with your money. If you're having relationship issues, there's all kinds of scriptures that will help you with relationships. But see, so many times we don't really understand because we really don't dig deep into God's word. And one of the things that we do that hurts us so much, and I'm talking about Christians and non-Christians alike, we justify God's word. And see, justification is an easy thing. There was a 90s song, was by a group, but the verse said, my mind playing tricks on me. And some of y'all might know what I'm talking about. I don't want to go into detail. But my mind playing tricks on me. But sometimes when it comes to God's word, we can play mind tricks on ourselves. You know, let's say if it's something that we really do want to do, we can justify almost anything that we can do. I'm in education, and we do a lot of research with statistics. But you know, I could take a group of statistics, look at those statistics, analyze them, break them down, and make those statistics mean anything that I want. If we're doing good, hey, this statistic, I can flip it around. But see, so oftentimes we're like that with the Word of God. Is it right? No, it's not right. Because the Bible says all scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness. And I know for myself, before I became a disciple, I was the poster child for making the scriptures justify my life. I remember if I wanted to lie, oh man, I could make that Bible work into that. Because growing up, man, we went to church 24/7. We were went to a church where, literally, if we got out at 3 o'clock on Sunday, that was an early date, all right? We went to church all day long, and one of my childhood friends, he probably knows, because Pope couldn't come outside until about 4 o'clock on Sunday, because that's when I got home. But the problem is this, guys. The Bible has to be the standard. And see, when our mind starts to play tricks on us, we justify everything that we do. So it's easy to say I trust God, but when it comes to my actions, do I trust God? I trust God in relationships. I know that God is first, but I'm still dating this guy, and we're still sleeping together. But I love God. I know that God understands. Have you been there before? Well, I'm cheating on my taxes. Lord, you know I need money. So if I just put this extra dependent down, you know, you say that you're going to take care of me. We can justify. Or I'm in school, I'm a teen. Everybody else is smoking or skipping class, but I know it's not right. But you know what? God wants me to be part of a group. We can justify almost anything that we do. But see, the bottom line, is it what's right in God's eyes? But if you really do want to change, you have to allow the Word of God to resonate in your heart that promotes action, that promotes being different. The next thing I want to talk about, in order to promote change, we got to make sure that we're trusting God's people. God's people. Now, let's go back over to Matthew 18. We got to trust God's people. And I'm just going to start it off again. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called the child to himself and set him before them and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted, become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What's another way that we can promote change? We got to allow ourselves to trust God's people. We got to get over that fear. And I know looking at the news for the last couple of days has been really depressing. I mean, if you're in America today, you understand, you look at the news and you're like shaking your head. And I know there's different sides of the story because, you know, people really don't understand if you're not in my shoes or if I'm not in their shoes. But the problem is, it's sad. When you look at the killings in Dallas and all the young African-American and Latino boys who are being killed, or men that are being killed, the cops that are being killed. I mean, there's a lot going on. And if you look at this scripture, Jesus calls a little child to him. And when I talk about trust, you got to trust God's people, you think about a child. When a kid is about 3 or 4 years old, kids trust people. To the point where parents say, look, stranger danger, you know what I mean? Because they trust people so much. I'm serious about it. You trust people so much. But they trust. I remember listening to kids when the parents were trying to help them with their homework. It could be 2 plus 2 is 5, and they show them a different, 2 plus 2 is 4, and they show them a way how to do it. But then the kid's like, no, my teacher told me to do it like this. How many parents been down that road before? It's like the teacher is way up there. I remember my daughter, we were trying to teach her how to write cursive. No, baby, you do this. No, Miss Harrison said this upside down basement, all this kind of stuff. But she didn't want to trust me. She wanted to trust her teacher, but kids trust. But I think through experience, I think through life, I think through things that we go through, I think that the older we get, that trust disappears. Instead of trusting in people, oh, man, we get cynical. to the point I'm not trusting nobody but Jesus. I'm not trusting my boss. I'm not trusting my neighbor. I'm not trusting anybody. But do you know when we get to that point, it's hard to change. And a lot of times we get to that point, we don't even know if we've gotten to that point yet. And what the devil does, I believe, that he gets us like that, because if we can't trust people, most of the time our relationship with God is not where it needs to be. And so what happens, we push people off. And what happens, we become like a little island in the middle of the ocean. No military, so when we go through hard times, hey man, we're just getting bombarded and beat down. But you have to learn how to trust God's people. And an amazing thing, when it comes to jobs or different situations, some of us, we can find that room to trust a little bit. Because we understand, this is my boss, this person has to help me. I got to learn, I got to trust if I want this job. But spiritual things, we don't. And I remember myself, I told my wife probably about a few weeks ago, I came to the conviction. I said, you know what? I'm having a problem trusting folks. Trusting people. Me, who like to talk, who like to run my mouth. I have a problem with trust. Because what would happen, you know, the new groups had started and all of this. But as soon as I saw groups, I said, man, I don't want, you know, I said, I'm cool, but I'm not going to no meeting. I've been down that road before. And I remember I had to really kind of dig deep into my own soul. I'm like, was I hurt? I said, I didn't think I was hurt, but I just didn't want to deal with folks like that. You know, I had my own little group, my boys that I talked to, I went bowling with, and, you know, I called on the phone. If I was struggling with something, I called them, but that was it. And I had to dig down deep in my soul. But then I thought about it. I said, you know what, I'm not the only one feeling like this. Because in conversation, you talk to people and you see people just like in their own little cliques. But you know what? In order to change, we have to open up our hearts and learn how to trust people. And we got to get past the hurt. We got to get past the pain. We got to get past other bad experiences. Again, that false expectations assuming appearing we're real. Sometimes we don't want to trust people because we're automatically thinking what they're going to say or what they're going to do. Or what they're going to do to hurt. Instead of being positive, this is a new relationship. This is a new era of my life. It's like, no, boy. I do not want to open myself up for hurt, pain, rejection, embarrassment. I don't want to open myself up. And what happens? We put on a facade and a wall. So we walk around people, everything is great, hunky-dory. Awesome, man. But then inside, we're hurting. Because we have some things that we hadn't really dealt with. But we have to learn how to trust God's people. We have to learn how to trust our wives or our husbands. Do you know how many relationships end in divorce today? One out of every two, but it's really not one out of every two. It's like 0.49. So that's close enough to saying one out of every two marriages end in divorce. But the wild thing about that is, everybody, is this. The ones who don't divorce separate. That statistic is not even there. The ones who divorce, not separated, they just exist. I know a couple, and I know these guys. Well, they have their own relationship. It's kind of like they do their own thing. They do their own thing. The wife sleep upstairs, downstairs. You know, she have her folks, she have her folks. I mean, that's just how it is. Now, they're not divorced, but think about that statistic. The household. If you are in a relationship and two people are together, you have to learn how to trust your spouse. Out of all the millions of people that God has placed on this earth, do you know what? God chose that lady for you. And sometimes I don't understand that stat when I'm going through my little thing. You know, because sometimes I feel good. Something like, man, what in the world going on? Because being married is hard. if anybody tell you it's easy, I don't think they're telling the truth. Because you got this sinner, and now y'all work together as sinners to raise kids and try to be the best that you possibly can be for everybody else. But you have to trust. Like, for instance, I have to trust my wife when it comes to discipline my daughter most of the time. Because that's daddy's baby. You know, that's daddy's little girl. All your fathers can probably relate to me. You know, oh, man, baby, she okay. You know what I mean? Just don't like a light boy. That's not good. That's what I get upset about, you know? When a little boy try to talk to her, I'm like, boy, she 8. Leave her alone. And that's when daddy come out right there. But I have to trust my wife. Because I have to understand that she's there to help me to make it to heaven. And see, men, we don't understand women. We don't. It reminds me of a story. A guy was walking down the street. A faithful guy was walking in California, and God came up to him. God came up to him and said, hey, you're faithful. You're a servant. Hey, I'm going to give you one wish, whatever you want. So the guy said, you know what? I'm afraid to fly airplane. I'm going to get on an airplane. You know, that was one of his fears. So he said, if you could build a bridge, God, from California to Hawaii, so my wife and I could have a good honeymoon. So he said, okay, and God said, well, I don't know about that. Because to build a bridge from to Hawaii, that's going to take several thousand tons of concrete and then the architecture design. He said, give me your number two wish. He said, well, listen, my wife and I just had a disagreement. Lord, I want you to give me wisdom where I can understand my wife, where I can understand all women. Then God came back and said, you want a one-lane highway or two-lane highway? But we have to trust. And men who are married, you got to understand that your wife is there for you. Women, you got to let your husbands lead you. You got to allow them to feel confident and, you know, encourage him and make him feel special. Don't just beat him down. We don't need none of that going on, okay? But you got to encourage. And like I said, this is not a marriage session, but, you know, I just like to talk about that stuff, y'all. Because you got to trust God's word. You know, you got to trust God's people, and that's what we talked about earlier. You know, but then the last thing, guys, we got to get over. My last point, we got to get over the fear of executing our dreams. Now, this is a long passage, y'all. So, y'all, I'm going to read it from my Bible. As I get older, my eyes start playing tricks on you, just like I said earlier. Matthew chapter 25. And this is the parable of the talents. One version talks about gold. And because it's so long, I'm going to kind of give a little insight before. Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a guy who goes out on a journey. And he gives one of the servants 5 talents, another 2 talents, and then another 1 talent. Okay, so let's just take there, and then we're going to pick it up, let's say in verse 19. So 25, verse 19. He says, now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, master, you have entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, well done and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into my joy, the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up and said, master, I knew you were to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from that one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Let's just stop right there for a second. My last thing that I want to talk about, when overcoming fear, guys, we got to get over the fear of executing your dreams. Now, this passage talks about talents, and it was a parable in a sense. You know, but Jesus gave one guy five and he doubled, gave one guy two and he doubled. But then one guy, he just put it in the ground. And then he knew that his master was a hard man. See, the bottom line is that this guy, the last guy, he hid what his master had given him. The thing that he hid was the thing that his master had given him. The master thought it was incredible. But this guy, he just put it in the ground. And then Jesus goes on. And I do believe that in this passage, things that God has given us, we should want to benefit and grow God's kingdom. Amen. You know, God has blessed us with so many great things, and he wants us to go out and to make an impact on God's kingdom. Now, I know that that's what the Bible says about that, but I want to try to talk about things that God has given us anyway. Because, see, just like this guy had a talent and he put it in the ground, I believe so oftentimes that God has given all of us special gifts, each and every single one of us. I don't care who you are, you have a special gift. I don't care if you're 5 years old, God has instilled certain things in your heart and in your character. God has given you so much, but so oftentimes we don't really dig deep and use what God has given us. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm just talking about things in our character, guys. You know, some of us are great servants. Some of us are great entrepreneurs. Some of us are just great, great people. You know how to be friends, sir, you know, hospitality. I mean, whatever it might be, God has given us things. But are we really jumping out there and utilizing the things that God has given us? But see, I think that fear holds us back from that as well. Because think about some of the dreams that you had years ago. Things that you wanted to accomplish with your life. Things that you wanted to become. Or even just things that you want to do in God's kingdom. But again, I think fear can allow those dreams to stop growing. This is a quote. It says, "Why do people prefer unknown hells as opposed to unknown heavens?" And this is a deep passage to quote right here, guys, because a lot of times we would rather do something, even if we don't like it, instead of trying something new. I know people who hate their jobs. Hate it. They hate going to work. They hate driving to work. They hate it. But then they know that they can do something else. They know that God has put a dream inside of their heart, inside of their mind. But they don't want to take that step to go out and move forward. And I think something that the devil uses, he uses people to stop us from dreaming the way we need to. I was talking to a sister in church a few weeks ago, and she said that she had a dream of becoming an airline pilot when she was 17 years old. Now, this was probably in the 70s or early 80s. And her teacher came to her and said, "You know what? I hear that dream. That dream's not going to happen. You might want to step down a few notches and maybe work at an airline, maybe as a hostess or a stewardess or whatever." She said, "First of all, you're a black woman, and they don't allow blacks, first of all, to be pilots. And then second, you're a woman. They definitely won't allow no woman to be a pilot." So I was talking to this sister, and you know that same dream she had, she remembered that time and that situation. And she said it's hurt her for the last 25 years. Because someone told her what she could not do. And I want you to think about the dreams that you've set aside in your heart, that you know that you're passionate about. But if you could do it, you would do it right now. But because of fear, you're not taking that first step. Now, I'm not saying you need to quit your job and do something. All right, no, you got to be wise too. But what I am saying, start setting yourself up. If it's something for God's kingdom, set yourself up for God's kingdom. Because you got to remember that whatever it is going to be to glorify God. You know, and I hear this a lot of times from my brothers and sisters. Well, you know, God wants us to be content. We should want to better ourselves. You know what? That's not exactly true in that situation. If you look at Philippians 4, where that is, you know, God, Paul is talking about he was learning how to be content in all situations. Basically, he understood that was God who had blessed him in that situation. So if he had money, he was going to be content. If he didn't, he was going to be content anyway. But don't you think as Christians, we should be more ambitious than everybody else? Because we have God on our side. You know what I'm saying? As Christians, we should be out there in the streets doing great things for God's kingdom. You know, one of the brothers said, this one brother at this church, he was an entrepreneur. He donated 25 acres to the church so they can build the church. Why couldn't that be you? Because I know that you have dreams. But what's stopping you from going for your dreams? What's holding you back? And again, we allow our mind to play tricks on us. What is holding you back from going for your dreams? And see, a lot of times, like for me, my dream was like the Running Man. Have y'all remember that dance, the Running Man with MC Hammer? I can't do it, y'all. You know, it was a lot of movement, but we went nowhere. You know, you sweating everything, you know, just in that spot. But you're right there. And that's how it was with me for a long time. I had these great dreams God had put on my heart. I started my own business. But you know what? I was like the Running Man. I would do the research. You doing anything? Yeah, I'm running. I'm doing something, but I wasn't moving. And then this year, I just made a decision. Now I'm moving, and it's going well. But you got to understand, guys, if God has put something on your heart, what are you doing with it? I want to share about a brother real quick in closing. I want to share about a brother named Lamar Bankhead. Stand up, Lamar. I mean, y'all don't even know. A lot of people don't even know Lamar. Look at Lamar right there. Look at, okay. So you can sit down, Lamar. I met Lamar about 15 years ago at a cookout. I remember we were playing video games in his bedroom. They stayed in a little bitty apartment where he had a big cookout. And Lamar, if you don't know anything about Lamar, Lamar is a man. He loves God. He loves people. But Lamar worked for a moving company at that time. He worked for a company. So he would tell me about the company. He said, Pope, I'm thinking I'm going to start my own business. I said, okay, then. I wasn't, you know, I'm doing this number. I'm like, hey, do what you want to do, brother. You know, just let me know. So anyway, he started his own business, a moving company, because he was a mover, but he was moving and kind of doing it. I said, how you going to start? You have a truck? He said, I have a Saturn. So you go move furniture in a Saturn. Now, a lot of y'all don't even know what a Saturn is. It's like a small Kia, okay, the small. Not the big one that's on LeBron James commercial. It's the little bitty one, okay? That's how a Saturn looked at the time. I said, you're going to move furniture in a Saturn? He said, I'm going to start. So he started moving, and next thing I know, Pope, I'm buying an office building. For what? My moving company. So he just started rolling, rolling, rolling. Now, in the interim, while he's doing all these things, he's serving, he's donating, he's doing everything great for God. And now Lamar, after 15 years, has one of the largest moving companies in the state of Georgia today. You know? And also, his company is recognized nationally. See, he had a little bit of dream. But instead of Lamar just sitting there waiting on that dream to come into fruition, he made it happen. You know, and he gives when there's a need in the church. Guess who gives? And he doesn't even do it because he gives cash. I'm like, bro, you better do a check or something you can write off. I don't need just give cash. I'm sorry, Lamar. You might have a lot of folks coming up to you right now, sir. But the deal about it is, guys, we cannot allow anything to stop us from dreaming. And we got to learn how to get over that fear so we can do the things that God is destined for us to do and to become. And in closing, everybody, fear is not going to go away overnight. It's a process. Fear is a process, everybody. It's not going to go away. You're not going to hear this and go home tonight and say, woo, I'm through, I'm finished. I'm not going to be fearful anymore. I'm Superman. You know, I can battle anything. It's not going to happen like that. But you know what? I can promise you that if you open up yourself to God's word, when that fear comes, or when you feel like you messed up, when that fear comes, you understand that I got some grace right there with it too. All right, so God, hey, I'm scared I messed up, but you know, because of God's love, hey, in his grace, I can get right back up and keep going. You know what I'm saying? And when you feel like you're doubting yourself, when that fear comes into your mind, you can say, okay, fear, come on, come on, come on. But you know what? I got God on my side. With God, I am more than a conqueror. I can do anything that I can do through God. And when you feel like you're alone, because there's going to be some times when you feel alone, where you got to go to your private place. You got to understand, come on, come on. But you know what? When that comes, I know that God is with me always. And he'll never leave or forsake me. So you all have a fantastic day, and to God be the glory, everybody.